those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. And our co-host this morning is a Saratoga All-Star, Nancy Muldoon. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me. Good.
All right. So you've been an All-Star a couple times now. That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Thanks All-Star for having me back. And guest. You're doing two duties here today. And not everybody can do that. But we want to welcome everybody here, December the 8th. Believe it or not, 17 more days and it's Christmas. Time goes by so fast.
It does.
That after Labor Day, it seems that, you know, you're talking about the end of the year already with a couple weeks to go. And, you know, that old adage that the older you get, the faster time goes by is...
That's definitely true.
It's definitely true. I think because as a kid, you don't think about time. You just think about having fun and, you know, and whatever. I remember having a school break. And, you know, you get like 6 weeks off or 8 weeks.
It seemed to last forever.
Well, yeah, and kind of like towards the last 2 weeks of the summer, you were kind of wishing to go back to school until after the first day. Then you wish you were back on vacation. But now I'd take 2 months off gladly.
Not worry about it. Well, these Skidmore kids, they have a five-week break for Christmas. That's pretty long.
Well, I'll tell you, when I went to community college back after I got out of high school, we used to get out same time, about the middle of December, and we didn't go back till the end of January, at least. So, they do have a long break, but college is college.
Yeah,
you know?
I think I'd rather have a break when it's nicer out.
Well, you know, there are colleges that have trimesters.
Yeah.
And I think you don't get as long of a break, but you get, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks in between. But, you know, that's life. We'll go back to college, and we can do it. Well, you know, Nancy, a lot has been happening, not only, you know, we'll get to Saratoga here, but not only here, but in the national scene with the Mueller investigation and President Trump appointing a UN ambassador and a attorney general and
William Barr
for attorney general, who I think was attorney general during George Bush's administration, the first Bush.
I'm not sure.
But in any case, what I've read about him, you know, he's a very good... I know he was in the administration.
Oh, yes, he was the late President George Herbert Walker, Bush's attorney general.
Yeah. And, you know, did a good job. And, of course, the Mueller investigation is going along, spending money and coming up with all types of things other than what they were created for. They're created to check into the Russian collusion, and they've spent 2 years now coming down on everybody else for things they weren't even supposed to be checking. So, you know, that's getting to be a fiasco. Hopefully that'll end soon. And other things that are going to happen, the Democrats are going to take over the Congress on January 1st, and the Republicans keep the Senate. And we'll see what happens from that. Hopefully, Ocasio-Cortez doesn't cause too much problems. And
I'm actually looking forward to watching that portion of the program.
You know what? I am too, because it's going to be comical. It really is. I mean,
she's either going to get schooled real fast, or she's just going to become, you know,
she's going to become, well... I don't think you can school her because she's her own person. She wants to do what she wants to do. So I think it's just going to be a comedy show with her. I really do. It's
Well, she better hit the books before she gets into office, because hey, somebody's got to. She better hire somebody who at least hires somebody who's an advisor that can at least, you know, brief her every time. You know, she really needs somebody to.
Did you say reefer?
To brief her.
Oh, brief her.
To brief her.
I was going to say, I think so she's doing that on her own.
Well, you know, I think she needs somebody to sort of direct her on what to say and what not to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know. I know what you're talking about.
The Medicaid thing where she said, will you just pay for it?
Yeah.
that was funny.
In all honesty, though, I think we're getting a growing breed of far left, and maybe even to some extent the far right, trying to cancel that out stupidly. But
there's certainly bad on both sides. I mean, yeah, the alt right is a little too right, and yep. The alt left, or you know, the far left, the Marxist, communist, liberals have just gone so far left they've gone crazy and they've lost their audience.
Well, they have, and I hope they have, because it just seems that you're getting people like this winning offices. And,
well, Americans don't live in the extremes. They live in between. I think most people are turned off by any kind of extremism, regardless of what it is.
Yeah. Well, that's why I hope that they don't do away with the Electoral College, because, you know, the Democrats want to eliminate that because, you know, they won the popular vote, but really that's not what. People think that that's what counts in a national election, but, you know, we're a republic democracy, and they...
In theory, yeah.
Well, in theory, but forefathers instituted the Electoral College because of a reason, and I still think it's valid today. You don't want five states determining an election. And that they would fly over the middle part of
just
our country.
Just as upstate New York doesn't want New York City determining who our governor gets to be in New York every election.
Oh, exactly. Cycle. I mean, I don't know. You can lose 46 counties out of 52.
There's 62 counties, and I think Cuomo only won 9 this time. I think he won 11 last time. It's just absurd.
Yeah, and I mean, a friend of mine said, well, you know, because... half the population, at least, lives south of Westchester County. So I said, you know, it's a shame that you have that area that's densely populated. I mean, determine an election for all the rest of the 46 or 47 counties. And he says, well, people vote, trees don't.
Speaking of trees,
yeah,
we seem to be... you know, some sort of frenzy here in Saratoga. Has anyone else noticed the amount of tree stumps around Saratoga? I mean, all over the place. I mean, trees that weren't even dead. I mean, it's one thing if you have a rotting tree. I'm all for tearing that down so before it falls on somebody. But we're cutting them down like...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a little too much.
Do you think somebody needs some firewood?
But why are we not replacing these trees?
I don't know. I remember...
You know, the city doesn't take the stumps out. You know, that has to be done by somebody else.
Probably
they
the
can
land
cut them down.
Owner.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember, I don't know, a few years ago, they had this idea where they would plant so many trees a year. But I think they're taking down 3 times as many as what they're planting.
Yeah,
you know?
It's very noticeable around town. I mean, they just did Franklin Square the other day.
Yeah.
In front of 5 Division Street. And, you know, maybe they were old and rotting, but I don't think they were. I mean,
no,
I guess
I don't think so either. You know, there's something about having a really nice old trees in a city that's supposed to be a quaint Victorian city. And, you know, it's too bad. It's too bad that we can't. And they don't explain anything. They don't explain why.
Oh, they just disappear. Like one day you'll drive by and you're like, hey, wait a minute. Wasn't there a tree there?
Yeah.
And there'll just be a stump there. Yeah, it's very sad. The other thing is, too, is the issue with the leaves. I think we touched upon it a couple weeks ago when I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't normally get into the politics on Facebook. I kind of ignore them, and I try not to comment on those kinds of things because it's just, it doesn't accomplish anything. But somebody was saying on Facebook, I think it was on one of those group pages, like if you know you're from Saratoga Springs, if, one of those pages. So there's somebody who, I guess he's the vice president of the Republican Party, Bob.
Oh, Bob Burrell.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Bob Burrell. He said that all the leaves were picked up, and I said, well, no, they're not. And he said that he was going to get me an interview with Skip Scirocco, and of course that never happened. And but
we've been trying to get an interview with Skip Scirocco for 9 years. We've invited him on the show.
He doesn't return phone calls. He doesn't return my phone calls. So
we've invited
calling.
Him on the show at least 9 times before I gave up and said, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, and he never answered my – I talked to his secretary. I talked to his deputy. And I still never got anything back.
Well, the wreaths were up. The Christmas wreaths were up before the leaves got picked up. Mm-hmm. And the leaves they're piled all over the city. I mean, it's really horrendous.
There's still leaves in the road, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
they
had the street sweeper out the other day, come flying up and down the street, and there were still leaves in the road.
Well, that Bob Burrell said, well, where are these leaves? Show me a picture. So I uploaded a picture of Circular Street in Congress Park because they were all over. I mean, that's a very prominent stretch of Saratoga.
Mm-hmm.
Can't miss it. So I took a few photos. I uploaded one to that Facebook page. Literally the next day, DPW was out there picking those particular leaves up. So
yeah.
I guess there's nothing like a little embarrassment.
Right. And I know Bob, and Bob's a good guy, but he's, he's
well,
on
he said,
Skip's
show
side,
me a picture, and
know?
I did show him a picture.
Yeah,
so they were out there the next day.
That's what you have to do. You know, you can always say things when you have the proof or you can back it up. And a lot of times when you can back it up,
well, I was just astounded that he was insistent that saying that, oh, no, all the leaves have been picked up. You know, my leaves have been picked up. And I was like, well, just because your leaves are picked up doesn't mean everybody's has been picked up. I mean, the putting up the Christmas wreaths before the actual autumn and fall work gets done to me is just, I just don't understand it.
Well, I mean, they were, even while the leaves were supposedly getting picked up, they were ripping up every street in the city rather than doing it. Well, they were ripped up all summer
long. There was 3 streets that were closed one day.
You remember going down
to
New York City? And every time you take a corner to go down the street, there's construction. And then you take a left to go down to avoid that. And that street's that's how it was here in Saratoga this year.
Yeah,
every street you went down, they had part of the road ripped up. And it's like, oh, my gosh, can't they coordinate anything?
Yeah, Clinton and Division last week. Phyla Street by Peabody's, that was closed off.
Yeah.
And Spring up by Broadway, they had closed off.
And
all
Nelson,
in one day.
Nelson.
Oh, yes, Nelson over by the Horseshoe Inn and the Brentwood Motel.
And by, by the racetrack. I mean, that whole stretch is closed off from...
And it's been like that for weeks, too. I don't know what they're doing.
More than weeks, because I go that way with the bus after
for
my afternoon run to get back on 14.
Do you
14.
Know what they're doing there?
I have no clue. And every time the roads are ripped up and you see people there with the machines, they have no clue what's going on. Nothing gets reported in the paper that such and such street will be closed.
There's no advisory.
And no advisory and no reason why. I mean,
another road was closed off the other day. Maple near Excelsior.
Oh, okay.
That was closed off in front of the Courtyard Marriott. Just closed off.
I think there's more streets that are closed off than ones that you can drive down. And I mean, seriously though, I mean, I think you'd be. I think what they're trying to do is make everybody ride bicycles, so
maybe.
That you can jump on the sidewalk and go around a ripped up street. You know.
Well, what do you think of the extended racing season for 2019? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. I was kind of concerned that they were going to do it, but they had their board meeting on Wednesday, and they decided not even to bring up the issue. So what this is about is that the Saratoga, at NYRA, New York Racing Association, who runs the Saratoga Racetrack, Belmont, and Aqueduct, they were thinking about extending the meet from 6 weeks to 8 weeks and have 5 days of racing instead of 6 days of racing during that time. They were getting a lot of negative feedback from a lot of, and I'm not going to say all, because some people don't, you know, don't care. They don't mind. But from a lot of residents, a lot of politicians, a lot of downtown merchants, except for the hotels. Now, as we talked yesterday, racing doesn't start getting busy in Saratoga till August.
Yeah, the real racing people don't come up here until August 1st.
Even when they have it 6 weeks, your first 2 weeks of July are, I'm not going to say dead, but opening day you get about 25,000 people.
Yeah, opening day is after always a big deal. After
that, until the first week in August, you'll get maybe 7,000 to 12,000 people a day, which is not peanuts by any means, because they say a slow day at Saratoga is a busy day at Belmont or Aqueduct during the year.
I've heard that too.
But even so, their money's made on simulcasting. I don't even think you have to have a race at Saratoga Racecourse in the summer for NYRA not to make $20 million that day because of simulcasting. And that's people that bet all over the country, wherever, you know, OTB or at the racetrack, on Saratoga races, and they make a lot of money on that. So we always kid that you don't have to have anybody. You could shut Saratoga down, the racetrack down, except for having 6 horses in 9 races, and nobody has to see them except TV showing them, and you'd get simulcast money. But anyway, I want to read two very prominent people in Saratoga, and we're talking about for quite a few years, made some statements, and this was from News Channel 13, and I picked it up on John Gray, who's a local newscaster and
a great writer,
and a great guy. It was on his Facebook page. John Hendrickson, who is married to Mary Lou Whitney, and they own horses and stables, I think, in probably Kentucky and here in New York, and probably all wherever there's a racetrack that they live at certain points of the year that they're horse owners.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Mary Lou Whitney, you can attest to this because you lived here all your life.
Most of my life, yeah.
Has been a very good benefactor to the city of Saratoga Springs.
Yes.
I mean, and she said, first of all, let me say what the news report said, too. It said NYRA has not contacted the community members. They're not being good neighbors. And I would suggest before they make any decision, they contact the mayor and other interested parties, which they haven't done. And you know what? They really don't need to. NYRA is a state run. NYRA is a institution that bid on running the racetrack, I think, for 25 years. I think they have like 12 or 13 more years to go. Mm-hmm. And then if someone else builds or bids and gets a contract, they don't need to name it.
And isn't it appointed by the governor?
Let's go back. NYRA was always, and after the state won the lawsuit that they owned the property, when they had that big lawsuit with the city, because the city thought they owned it. And
we should own it.
Well, I think going back 20, 25 years, they thought that Morrissey deeded the property over to the city, but they couldn't find the deed when the state took them to court. So they couldn't prove they owned the city. So the state was granted, you know, they own the track, Oklahoma track, and all the property around that. And Governor Cuomo took
King Andrew
Naira over. Yes, he took Naira over. It was a franchise with another 12 years to go from the original bid. But he wanted to get his hands on Naira. And mind you, he's never been up to Saratoga.
He doesn't like Saratoga.
No, he doesn't.
Well, it may be a little too classy for him.
But, you know, for national recognition, you think he would present the Traverse trophy to the Traverse winner. I mean, most of the time, you know, like the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness or Belmont, well, he doesn't even go to the Belmont, so you can't say anything about that. But, yeah, King Andrew wanted to get his hands on Naira. So what happened was there was a problem back with the people that ran it before he wanted to take it over. He ended up taking it over, appointed a board, appointed most of the members of the board, and then the state legislature appointed some others. But he had, I don't know how many people are on the board. Let's say there's 16. He appointed like 11 of them or something like that. So he runs the racing, I mean, through his people that he puts on there. But anyway, they were... John Hendrickson, he was a former Naira board member who left because of what was going on, said, of course, there's some hotels and restaurants that would like to say we'd like to have more racing. But if you ask a child, would you like more candy? They're going to say, yes, of course. But I'm looking at the overall stature of Saratoga in the racing world, and I believe this, which is extending the meet, will be the beginning of the end of our stature. And Charles Waite, who was also a Naira board member for 30 years, he also stepped down because of what was going on. Now, Charles Waite...
one of the most influential people here in Saratoga.
In Saratoga, I mean, owns, along with shareholders, Adirondack Trust Bank. His family started that back in probably 1722, but maybe not that long. But he agrees with Hendrickson, and he said, what has always made Saratoga special is that there wasn't enough of it.
Correct. I grew up here, and I remember when Saratoga was referred to as the August place to be. It was
sure.
A four-week meet.
Four-week meet.
It started August 1st.
Nine races a day.
It ended August 31st, so if you didn't get here in that time, then you missed it. And
yeah.
It was a magical time.
Yeah, it was.
And it was packed every day.
Well, you had nine races. You could go, and it would end about 5 o'clock. You could still get home for supper or go out to eat and get home at a good time. I mean, now it ends 7:15. People, you know, don't get home until later if they're not going out. And people that
and
go
downtown
out,
is mobbed.
Downtown is mobbed. But the restaurants complain, and, you know, talking to several restaurant owners, that they lose their first seating because the track gets out so late. They don't get that first
The 5 o'clock seating. Every restaurant is dead. It's empty.
And most locals, probably 90% of them, don't go to eat in Saratoga during racing season.
No, so we sort of give over our town to the tourists.
So let's, I do have to say Georgie Nugent, who's, she's the only representative on the Naira board from Saratoga, said Thursday that she is strongly opposed to a longer season. But she's one voice of the others. But
to be clear here, this is only going to happen for 2019 while Belmont is being refurbished, correct? This is not an ongoing
Belmont,
thing.
Belmont's refurbishment is going to take, I think they said something like 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. Well, see, I guess what they're planning, I mean, I don't know exactly how long. I've heard that because... What they have to do, see, I'll draw you a picture so that our listeners can see. All right, what they're going to do, among other things, all right? Now, you can see that, right? Okay. Now, that is the racetrack, okay? And what they're going to do is they're going to change the racetrack so that it's like this. And the reason they're doing that is because this way gets more of the sun than this way. And they're planning on having that, winterizing that track also, so they don't have to use aqueduct. I think the plan is to phase out aqueduct. And have aqueduct be the casino. You know, they have the casino there now, and have aqueduct be the casino part. So they want to maximize the most sunlight, because I think aqueduct is positioned the track so that it gets the sun in the wintertime, which helps, you know.
And that's going to take 5 years.
Well, and they're doing other things down there, too. I mean, you know, they're putting in a coliseum for hockey. They were awarded the New Jersey hockey team is moving to Belmont, and they're going to be building, I mean, the plan is to build shopping centers with stores, a subway to get over from that area to Belmont Racetrack. See, Belmont owns so much property, you can't believe it. I mean, they own parking lots that aren't even used way in the back. I mean, we're talking about a humongous amount of property. And you could probably fit another million people with houses in there, the way they cram them in. But anyway, that's the thing about Belmont. Now, my contention is that they're going to get so much drawback if they do this for permanent. So I think it's going to be an emergency measure while they do Belmont over, that they'll have it up here.
Now, in addition to Tuesday being dark day, it'll be Monday and Tuesday being dark day.
Right. So they have the same number of race days, but
I thought it was adding 10 more.
No, it's 40 race days. But with having the 2 days off, it still brings it to Labor Day. So you count back from Labor Day, 40 days.
It just starts earlier.
Right. I think they said this year it would start the 11th of July, 8th of July or 11th of July. My only fear is that once you do something, once you change something, it's very hard to change it back. And if it's said, well, it's only going to be for 3 or 4 years or whatever, it's locked in there, and it's not going to go back to 6 weeks. That's my feeling. Hmm. I mean, I don't know, but
I think if I had my way, I'd bring it back to making Saratoga the August place to be.
Me too.
We're just too small of a town. We just can't deal with all the traffic. That's the other issue.
We get an influx between 20,000 and 30,000 people. In the summertime.
Yeah.
And
it's already congested. And it's not just busy. The traffic isn't, you know, there's not just a lot of traffic during the summer months now. And there's traffic all year long.
And it's knuckleheads. I mean, not everybody. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean that as a derogatory statement. I should have said there's quite a few people that drive like,
They don't follow the rules of the road. There's a few intersections that there's so many blind spots now in town.
And pedestrians are supposed to have the right of way. And I guess where they come from, that's not the rule. And they go breezing by when people are out, starting to go out into the walk zone. And I mean, a lot of things go on here. And a lot of things go on unreported, too. I mean, there's a lot of
theft. Mean Saratoga has an underbelly?
Oh, do we have an underbelly? And we also have a rotting infrastructure, too, underneath the roads. But, yeah, I mean, it's quite a place in the summertime. I mean, people like that, and it is nice, but, you know, just for a certain period of time. I mean, I can't imagine extending the social season up here another two weeks. Oh, my gosh.
I'll just say something about, it's probably not PC. I'm not a PC kind of person, but that Chris Kay, that CEO of NYRA, is just awful. I mean, he's just, you know.
I can't comment on that.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. I'll be the one to say it, because I don't think that he's done anything to enhance the experience of going to the racetrack. He doesn't seem to be patron friendly. He doesn't seem to listen to any of the suggestions that Saratogians have come up with. And that's most unfortunate, I think. I think we need somebody new in that position.
Well, I just want to say, mistletoe, a Christmas tradition. And don't forget to get your Christmas balls, too. And I'm reading from the Posey Peddler over on West Ave. They have both of them.
Posey Peddler, that's one of a local favorite. One of a very successful local business.
Yeah, very successful and very nice to deal with. Mm-hmm. And we do have a bunch of great businesses around Saratoga.
Well, what's your favorite one?
My favorite business is SaratogaBroadcasting.com. It's an internet radio station, and I think they're one fine group of people that run that. They're very civic-minded, and they also have some very good programming on there. But second, I would have to say, in all honesty, it's very hard to pick one, but my favorite place is the credit union in Saratoga. And I'll tell you why. It has a large membership.
Mm-hmm.
But
how much does it cost to join?
$5.
$5.
$5. And, but you can, today a lot of people do online banking, whether it be a bank or credit union.
Online everything. Online shopping.
Right. Pay bills. Mm-hmm. You know, deposit checks.
It's easy. Yeah.
But the thing is that, they still have their percentage of walk-in customers. I mean, you'll never get rid of that, and you can go in there. I don't care how many people have what percentage of the membership goes in there. They know your first name. I'm telling you, they know your first name, and they say, "Hello, Nancy. How you doing today?" It's not, "Hi, ma'am. How are you?" Which is kind of unusual today, and that's why I like that.
Well, I'll have to check it out, right?
Yeah, that's why I like that. It's on the corner division.
One of my favorite Saratoga businesses is Toga Heritage. Have you ever been in there?
No.
Oh, it's beautiful. Her stuff is like second to none.
Really?
And she's in the Silverwood Gallery, which is like just like right next door from Uncommon Grounds.
Oh, okay.
And if you go in there, Toga Heritage is on the bottom floor. It's on the, you go downstairs, and her stuff is just incredible. I don't know if you're on Instagram, but look her up on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's Deborah DePasquale.
But I've got Instagram, but,
look up Toga
Heritage.
I'm
beyond that age where you can figure things out easily.
I always refer tourists there because her stuff, I mean, if you really want to get really, really high quality, like Saratoga souvenirs, that would be the place to go.
Right. Now,
In addition to impressions.
I have to make a disclaimer here that we don't get paid for advertising here.
Correct.
We can't take advertisements. And, when we talk about a business, it's because we want people to know.
Because we actually like it.
We'll like it. And we want people to know that
it's there.
That it's there. I mean, one thing that we're blessed with in Saratoga is that we have many small businesses downtown. Matter of fact, I think they all
are. I like the motto. The motto of Toga Heritage is love where you live.
Okay.
Love where you live.
Or
perfect.
Live where you love.
Yeah.
If you remember that old Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song from the 60s,
it's a little bit before my time.
How does it go? And if you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. and that's a great song, too. They were a great group. But anyway, We don't take advertisements, but we like to talk about local businesses. And
another great business is that Empire Crate. Have you ever ordered one of those boxes?
No.
If you have somebody that's maybe living on the West Coast and maybe they're from New York State and they're missing New York State, you can get one of those Empire Crates.
Oh, where okay.
Everything in the box is from New York State, somewhere in New York State, and and they'll check off what place in New York State that the product is from.
Oh, neat, neat. Well, I sent, you know, the edible fruit place out on 5 by 15. I think that's a great idea. And I sent a bouquet to my brother-in-law in Seattle. And by the time it got there, because I sent it 3-day shipping. Mm-mm. And by the time it got there, it was like, and he said, what are you doing sending me this stuff? And I'm only kidding. I did send one to a friend's wife that, actually Lynn's wife, when she was in the hospital. And we sent one to the home, or to the house, when they got back, and they said it was the best gift they ever got.
Oh, nice.
They said, we enjoyed eating that fruit. It looked beautiful, they said, and they had really neat things in there, like chocolate dip pineapple, all kinds of fruit. And they said they ate it in like one afternoon. They said it was so good. And what an idea. Whoever came up with that is a genius, you know. But if you have a business that you like, let us know. Or, you know, if you don't want to call, email us. The phone number here, by the way, is 518-580-5783. And you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM, Skidmore Radio. And you're here with the two of us, co-hosts today, Nancy Muldoon and Rick Thompson. And one of the things... I want to just touch on, Nancy, was the Saratoga Casino and Hotel. They broke ground on a new outdoor gaming terrace. Mm. And
just
I would
expanding
think...
expanding and expanding and expanding.
Expanding. Now this, well, I don't know. It was a very touchy subject when the casino wanted to come here. I don't think we would have had to fight much to get the casino to come here because the state wanted it to come here in Saratoga. So,
well, they tried to shove it down our throats, and we sent them packing, so to speak.
Well, yeah, but I think it would have been a good thing. I don't.
You do?
I honestly do. I don't think. I think it would have been. It would have been a good thing for Saratoga. You know, we make money
Saratoga
off of the Racino.
Saratoga has so many good things.
Well, it does. Saratoga makes probably around $3 million a year from the Racino. Which is an amount that, because we host the Racino in Saratoga, and we would have gotten a ton of money from a casino, but that money will start to go down because people will be going down to the casino because it was placed in Schenectady. The Racino won't be making as much money, so the city's whatever they get will be going
I actually
down.
Think I'll just have to respectfully disagree with you. I mean, look at what Rivers Casino. This was going to be Schenectady's boon. They wanted it. Now they're already asking the state. It's been open less than 2 years. They're already asking the state for money.
Yeah, but that's why if it was in Saratoga, it wouldn't have been that way.
I don't know about that.
See,
well, the first 2 years of any casino are the most profitable. So if they haven't turned a profit in that 2 years, and they have built extensively down there, I mean, it looks much better than, you know, there was just nothing there.
Right.
And they have the hotel there. I mean, it looks good. The fact that it is not profitable and has not saved Schenectady from its own social ills.
Well, like I
said,
I'm
glad I think Saratoga made the right decision. We don't want that kind of element here anyway.
Well, you don't need, I mean, you don't, look, I don't, you know, we can get into a social discussion on element that
criminal
you
element.
Don't. Well, criminal element.
Schenectady,
but that's not what they were
city.
Talking about in Saratoga, mm-hmm. not getting that type of element in Saratoga. And I'm sorry, but we already have it. And I think that we don't do enough to help the people that are homeless and need maybe mental help or a place in the winter. We keep fighting code blue places, and we have to put them in the basement of small churches instead of a facility that they wanted to build over on the west side, and the neighborhood fought it and won the court case.
Well, I'm kind of with the neighbors there. I mean, can you imagine? You have one facility, Code Blue, that you can drink right up until the time you go in, right next to two facilities that are strictly no drugs or alcohol.
Right. Well, you know what? I'd rather have them having a place to sleep overnight rather than being outside
feeling warm. Well, they have that now with Code Blue.
Well, yeah, I know, but I would like to not have it in a basement of a church where you can only get 12 cots in there.
Because they get a lot more than that in
there. We've got a lot. Well, in the basement of the...
I've been over there.
The small church there?
Yeah.
Well, they might not have the room that they would in a facility.
Yeah, I mean, it's cramped. It's definitely cramped.
Look, I like I said, we could get into a social thing, and I'm not, you know, maybe the neighbors had a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
if you owned a house on Walworth Street, it would absolutely decrease the value of your property, and I think that's the main concern. And I'm not trying to say, like, I'm not trying to be a NIMBY here.
No, and you're saying maybe put it somewhere where it wouldn't be in the middle of housing.
But clearly we have a homeless crisis here in Saratoga.
Well, we do.
There's no question about it.
And I think we should do something to help them out. I mean, I don't know.
There's only one person. There's only one person that I'll give money to in town, because I used to give money to a lot more of them, but then... Every time I'd pull into the Church Street Stewart's, I'd be surrounded, so I had to put the kibosh on that.
Who's that?
I just give to one guy. There's one guy in town that's homeless, and I just give to him.
Oh, homeless. Yeah, okay, because I thought if it was an organization,
there's a great one
that, you know, it's the Rick Thompson Memorial Fund that really, anyway... I just thought it was neat that there was a businessman in town that was going to give $1 million to help build that facility. And, you know, I mean, I think that's great, his commitment to a project like that was pretty neat. And, you know, I mean, that's another thing Saratoga's blessed with. It's people that give, you know, and... you can't knock that. So anyway, this hotel, outdoor gaming, I don't know what it's going to do in the wintertime. I mean, I can't see placing bets on a table with 5 inches of snow on it. You know,
maybe they're just going to use it for the summer.
It could be.
In fall.
It could be. I don't know.
Or they could cover it. They could cover it and heat it.
50 slot machines along the apron of the casino's historic harness track. Which that's pretty neat, and it probably will be in the summertime, because that's that harness track. Boy, I tell you, it used to be such a busy, populated, well attended place, and when the state took away the tax breaks for, you know, the different levels of people, the owners, the trainers, and that. That really hurt that industry. And because they used to be, man, when I was coming up here in the 70s, I came up with my boss from the Holiday Inn. They owned horses. There were 5 owners down there, and maybe 3 of them would come up when their horse ran. And they'd always ask me up here. I was a high school, working in high school at the Holiday Inn, and they'd bring me up. And, you know, you'd have 15,000 17,000 people here.
It was much bigger back then.
And, you know, that was pretty neat. And, you know, you like to see that. But in any case, that's something interesting in Saratoga, breaking ground. It seems somebody told me the other day that pretty soon in Saratoga, the only amount of green space that we'll have will be the size of printing paper for your computer. And that's what, 11 by 8, I think it is. And that's going to be it, because they are building on everything you can believe. I'll show you a picture after on my phone. You know where I live, over on the west side. I mean, there's housing developments over there, and there's the place by the post office going up, the ripping up all the woods and that, and we had two deer walking up the middle of our street. And they look so confused that, I mean, I don't know where they go. Now, there aren't any woods around us anymore. Maybe down on Grand Avenue a little bit, going, you know, before you hit
Rowland. Pine Street.
But it's unbelievable. And, you know, I felt so bad for them because you can't get, I mean, you go out, you spook them. But here they are walking on a road in a development and just looking around. And you could they were shaking a little bit. You could tell that they were afraid. And I don't know. I think you can build too much. I really do. Too much of a good thing.
Well, you know, they're finally going to get rid of that eyesore on Putnam Street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're building, what, a six-story apartment building? Six-story
apartment building.
I like the – I mean, I just saw the computer – generated image that they cranked out in the paper, but I thought that looked good because that is such an eyesore there across the street from the library on Putnam Street.
Oh my gosh, ever since I've been here,
it's hideous. From the 80s. And you'd think like it's such a prime location. Like why hasn't it been done sooner?
Yeah,
but I think that property belonged to the Balsamos, right?
I think so. Yeah. The vinaigrette owners, right? the Balsamo vinaigrette owners. No, that's the balsamic.
The restaurant owner.
Right, that's the balsamic family I'm thinking about. Right. The balsamic. six-story condo targets Putnam Street.
Which means there's going to be more cars, which that's a very narrow stretch of road in Saratoga. Probably one of the more narrow roads.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And you got the library right over there. It's
hard enough to get by there now.
I always wondered about this because, you read about these in different newspapers or online articles about this project, and I always thought, my gosh, there has to be a contamination problem over there because I guess it was a site years ago of a dry cleaning establishment, and I owned the dry cleaner for a period of about 9 years, and it was just, the first 2 years I was in it, that was before the state really came down on the chemical that we used to use, perchloroethylene. And when we changed our filters, we used to take them out of the big tube. You had filters, this big around, and you'd put maybe 12 of them in there to when the fluid cleaned, and they'd go through these filters and come out clean. Used to take them out and put them on the side of the building to dry out because perchloroethylene, if you got it on your hands, like whenever you back then you took the clothes out like you do in a washing machine now. You take them out wet and you put them in a dryer, and it used to dry them, and you'd reclaim the fumes that whatever, and your hands would be all dried out. It takes moisture out of your hands, or just like that, they'd be white, and you'd have to use hand lotion, and you put this on the side of your building with that chemical in it, and until they dried out.
It's extremely toxic.
Until they dried out.
It's probably outlawed now.
Matter of fact, there was a story that before I bought it, a family owned it for like 50 years. And the next door neighbor came out one day and was flopping like a fish out of water because they lived next door to there and were breathing the chemical in. But that's a story. That's what do they call that kind of a story? A tall tale, maybe. Anyway, but this stuff would dry out, and the filters, and then your garbage man, or you'd have a disposal, and he'd come and he'd take them in the regular garbage, and so they banned that. And what ended up happening was that you had to dig around your building, maybe 3 foot out and so many feet down, and have all that. Dirt and blacktop taken to a chemical disposal out in the western part of the state. The Love Canal, that's, with all that crap that's where a lot of this used to go. And
which is still vacant. It's closed.
Oh, yeah. You can never. I know a good friend of my in-laws.
They can't give it away.
No, they can't. And a good friend of my in-laws, they both passed away now, but they had four children. One daughter died when she was 33, she married a German fellow and lived in Germany. They grew up near that area, not right next to the Love Canal, but in that area. Their son got cancer. Two of their sons got cancer. And when they were 30, 40, and this is, they lived there when they were kids. So, I mean, you know, that you're right. You can't give that away. And because nobody could buy it, and they'd have to clean it up and drag all that stuff to some other site, and then nobody would buy it. It was a terrible thing to use the chemicals, but people didn't know about it back then. And, you know, you can't.
And corporations got away with it.
Right. But they didn't know about it. And you can't. It's like the leather industry in Gloversville. I mean, they used to dump their, at night, they used to dump their chemicals into the, we had a creek, dump it in there, and it washed down. And, I mean, nothing lived in that water. I mean, it was always, you know, when you have gasoline on the ground in different colors, like, and that's how that water used to be. And we had a school, Mount Carmel School that I went to, was right next to the creek. And, I mean, it stunk. And they did it at night because of the odor when they first dumped it. And we had a Tarzan swing going across the creek. And one day, one of the guys fell off of the rope, went into the creek, and his pants started gaping holes in it and smoking. And luckily, he lived like four blocks away, and he had red welts all over his legs. He had to sneak in the house because his father was a doctor, and they had someone come in to clean the house like four times a week. He had to sneak through a window so she didn't see him because he didn't want his father to know. But his legs were all terrible. And that's the kind of stuff that people did. And nobody said anything. They didn't know. I guess they knew what it did because when things were belly up in the water. But anyway, I'm just reading this to get back to the reason why I brought all this garbage up. It said, the site was revealed to be contaminated from its earlier use as a dry cleaning facility, as well as sustaining oil contamination from an off-site source, according to the project narrative provided to the city.
Is this that place on Putnam?
Yeah. Yeah, so they're going to have to do a lot of environmental cleanup there before they can build this thing, which I guess if there's money behind it, that's, you know, what's $1 million or so. But, yeah, it's the top would rise to 78 feet above the sidewalk, and they'd have a stair tower which would top off at 84 feet above ground level.
Oh, did you read that the new cantina is going to have a rooftop bar? That's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Going to be Saratoga's new hotspot next summer, I'm sure.
Well, and that's the Mexican place. So if they have a...
Have you been there?
No.
I was there once when they first opened, like maybe 2 weeks after. New place. Yeah, the new one.
Okay.
It's really nice inside. It's really, really nice.
Well, I would assume a very popular place.
And, perfect location.
But what I'm thinking is that if they're going to have a rooftop bar, they'll probably have music. And I think that's one thing that Saratoga lacks is Mexican music, hat dancing. That's
mariachi music.
Yes, that's a very popular. You get one of those big hats, throw it in the ground, and everybody dances around it. And I think that's one thing that we miss. But no, the cantina is a very, very popular and good restaurant. And I'm glad that they moved to a larger.
Glad that Lillian's is gone.
Yeah, I know that's too bad. City news. We talked about this a little earlier, and next to the page in the Saratoga Today, which is a weekly paper here in Saratoga, they show DPW is working to tend curbside leaves on George Street on December the 5th. So the leaves fall down in October, and we're still picking them up on December the 5th. Remember when they would start picking them up and they'd be around four or five times. And when you mow your lawn and you put your debris in a container out in front of your house,
they would be quickly taken away. Like within a week. Well, somebody would come by at least the next day.
Yeah.
Now they sit out there for weeks, if not months.
Yeah, exactly.
And I had people call the city and say, hey, can you come by and pick them up? And I don't know. I'd love to know what the schedule is, because it just doesn't seem like – it just seems like DPW over the years is just shirking the responsibility in regards to the citizens of Saratoga. I don't understand how anybody could get away with it.
I don't know. Well, you know, we have a person in office that really just, I guess, doesn't know how to run the department. I mean, it was never like this.
When Tom McTighe.
Right,
was
when you had
DPW commissioner.
I mean, he ran a lot of people didn't like him, but I got to tell you, he did the job. I mean, the city was always spotless. And
he knew how, he has good leadership skills. His employees always were where they were supposed to be, because they knew if they weren't where they were supposed to be, there would be consequences.
Right. I'm just reading this about the proposed development, affordable housing on South Federal Street. Did you hear about that?
Oh, second phase of Stonequist.
Yeah. The area median income for Saratoga County is approximately $86,400.
You know, most people in that, you know how much most people pay?
How much?
In that Stonequist. I mean, most of them are studios. I think that there's only a few one bedrooms.
Yeah.
But it is centrally located right in the heart of Saratoga. Most people only pay about $200 a month to live there, which to me is astounding.
Well, that's because they get federal.
Well, yes, that's correct.
Federal
most
money,
of them are on
so,
some sort of disability or something like
right.
that. But it kind of irks me as a working class person that they cannot build adequate, affordable housing for people who work for a living, but they got no problem with building phase two of people that don't work for a living, have not worked for a long time, and are not going to work again. I don't understand it.
Right. I mean, hey, that's the problem with giveaway programs in this country. We are... Number
when
one
everything is free,
priority is
then there's
to
no
make
incentive
work.
To do anything.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, we talk about jobs. Now, President Trump has created more jobs than there are people that can fill them, but yet there's people that don't want to go to work to fill those jobs. I mean, and unemployment is at the lowest rate that it's been, I guess, the last 50 years. And it's like there's still so many people that are collecting money. Not that they may not deserve help. I'm not saying that. I think, you know, there are people that just need help. But I think there's a program in New York now that if you collect benefits, that you have to work somewhere so many hours a week. And
I think that's just. I think you should at least put in at least 20 hours of community service.
Well, it's not
work,
only community service, but see, a lot of people don't want to get a job because they might make less than
they'll have their benefits taken
get.
Away.
Right. So this program, I because I know several people at work that are in this, you know, they got benefits and they didn't work, but now they took a job that doesn't pay a lot of money, but they have to work so many hours a month, and I think it might be 20 hours a week, and they get their benefits. Now, it'll equal out to what they would get if they didn't work at all and they didn't have that in place, but it gives them a sense of being out, getting out, and
part
being around people.
Giving your sense, a sense of purpose.
Exactly.
And an obligation to your community that supports you.
Exactly. And the incentive to find a full-time job, because you want to get on your own feet. It feels good to be out in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's a better way to do it than just to write checks every month. And, you know, I mean, helping with food and that is great. Although I hate to tout what the president does. I don't like to hear him talk, and I don't like his tweets. But
he needs
thing,
to delete his Twitter account.
Well, the thing you have to look at is results. And the results that he's come up with in the 2 years he's been in are phenomenal. I mean, there are, with the job creations, I think they said there are 3 million people that have gotten off of food stamps because they're back to work and they've gotten jobs.
That's good.
Yeah, and
record amount of food stamps under Obama.
Oh yeah,
record
amount, and you know, so there people do need help once in a while, and I think they should get it. But I do think too that they should not be, that shouldn't be a career of
it's not a lifestyle. Right. It should not be a lifestyle. No.
And here's the thing.
I call it shows, liberalism gone awry.
Yeah.
Derailed. Whatever. Oh, okay.
Because I was going to say, if it's gone awry, I wish it would have gone Italian bread, not rye bread. Hey, believe it or not, we have to get on with Polka Magic. It's 9 o'clock.
Well, thanks for having me, Rick.
Oh, we're going to have to continue because I'm only on page 9 of the Saratoga today, and it's 30-some pages long. So, hey, I want to thank you for listening to us today, and hopefully this is a kind of show that I like to do once in a while, is just to talk about things and tout some of our businesses in downtown and some of the problems that we have. We're not a fairyland here in Saratoga. We do have things.
It's mostly Pleasantville, but not always.
Yeah, you're right. So listen, stay with us for next week, and stay tuned next week, and we'll be back here with some more interesting things. Have a great week.